Thanks for hanging out with us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy. Do we need to start giving you maybe a new nickname?
Old bumper cars, maybe? I don't know.
Bumper car Ben Gilder?
Yeah. Airbag could be dual use. Some days.
Pedal to the metal Van Gilder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes P-E-D-D-L-E. Pedal, you know.
Which I don't know which one to hit.
Yeah.
Oh, not good.
Master of confusion.
Yeah. Very senior-like moment on your part, by the way. Very senior-like moment.
Definitely a senior moment.
All right, it is a White About It Wednesday with
Senior
Alan
citizens,
Ryan.
Although yeah. slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Yeah, you typically play that for me, but...
Monday night, probably wouldn't find that very funny.
But today...
2 days removed, I'm all right.
Got to have a sense of humor about it. You do. So, today it's a Wine About It Wednesday with Talon Wine. Chance to win a bottle of great Talon Wine, whatever you're serving, burgers off the grill.
On the text line.
We got a few. Okay.
Ruben's got one.
I have not checked it yet. We're also taking your golfers today for our GJ Golf PGA Championship giveaway. Win that wedge from GJ Golf out at Fisher's Marketplace. So get your golfers in now. First come, first served.
CJ's trying to go with Shooter McGavin.
Good luck with that. Good luck with Shooter McGavin.
Don't know if he's in this one.
Don't think
sponsor
he made the
sponsor exemption.
Don't yet.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, he had to get a sponsor exemption to get in. Oh, let's see. Got one. Steve can't handle hearing any song from Pink Floyd, especially during daylight hours.
Oh, amen.
I have more of an affinity, obviously, for the band than you guys do.
If I need a nap, Pink Floyd, right there. I'm sorry. Not sorry.
Not for everybody.
No offense, but man, they suck.
I get it. Whoa. Settle down.
Okay, suck's not a right word.
Suck.
Very talented.
Just not your
boring
thing.
Boring as hell.
How about just not your thing? Okay, why can't you say it's just not your thing? That's what I tend to
Money's
say.
Money's a good
I
song,
say it
I
sucks.
Say.
I go, just not my thing.
I misspoke.
Wow.
My comments were taken out of context.
My wine today is the overuse of the word resilience.
It's a very resilient text.
Thank you, Ruben. All right, so get your golfers in today for a GJ Golf PGA Championship contest. We got Ty from GJ Golf in here.
We're now in the portion of the contest where I have to look these guys up to make sure they're real.
just to make sure they're real guys. Good morning, Ty. How are you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? Good. I'm good.
Any grief, any shots you want to take at Buckeye for his lack of driving?
I'm
skills.
Just glad he's okay.
Me too, but yeah. now he's okay.
He's all right. Just telling
back
us the
to regular
story.
Programming.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just glad you're all right. Next
Thank
time,
you.
Don't be such an idiot.
Ty's just there we go. I like that.
He's friends with JJ, so you got to
be don't be such an idiot. Oh, and JJ, our sales guy, is out here. He's trotting his beer league hockey trophy around. So you want that in the studio? I'm like, I can't tell you. I can't. Say that it
no did one, somebody use him would, as a stick
I said
what?
We would not damage it, but I can't tell you what I can't promise you some foreign substance might not end up in it. Okay,
you know, like Zdeno Chara was like 7 feet tall on skates. JJ's 5'9" on skates.
I know, he's a towering figure of a man on skates,
big dude at that point.
Buckeye Boy, you're giving him a lot of credit on that one.
Yeah, you're being generous.
Well,
today.
He's on adult skates.
All right, so we got Ty in here.
Do they
today.
Have 5'6"s? Can we ask Jackson?
Okay, you done? You done now? You
for
done?
Now.
Okay, thank you. You know, I can just always turn you off over there if I need to. Okay. Just get that's your warning.
Okay, I'm good.
So tell us about the wedge, what you're giving away for the PGA Championship.
So we have a ton of different wedges from all the manufacturers. So once again, it's come down to the shop.
See, it's not, here's a great thing about you. It's not, you're getting a Callaway. You're getting, it's like, I'm going to give you selections. I'm going
to
give you choices, which you give to everybody.
To the Goodwill. Here's your wedge.
That walks in your door.
The reason why I do that is because not all of us like the same brands, same feels, same all that. So I try to...
That's knowing your industry.
Yeah.
Knowing your clientele.
Yeah, I try to give people some options.
And so you'll have your choice of a wedge if you win from a GJ Golf Fisher's Marketplace. I know things have been hopping at your place. A lot of tournaments coming up, things like that.
Yeah, we have... we've been crazy with spring. All the men's and women's leagues are going now. We got tournaments every weekend. Like this weekend, there's three tournaments that we know about that we're playing in two of them. The season has definitely kicked off.
I know one of the tournaments we've been talking about is the local 2808, their 13th annual golf tournament, the Firefighters local golf tournament, Saturday, Tierrado, $100 per player, 18 holes lunch, got the raffle prizes, and it goes to benefit the GJ Firefighter Foundation. They provide grants for firefighters. Families have been impacted that have maybe lost a member of their family as a firefighter, and goes to help them. golflocal2808.org. So that's one that you're familiar with.
Yes, that is. We will be playing in that. My wife, my daughter, and a gentleman called Caden, we will be playing in that. Hopefully we have a chance to be up on the leaderboard on that one. But also you have Fruita Wrestling that day, and then you have Central Cheerleading on Sunday. But yeah, firefighters are a big, big part of our life. We are friends with a ton of them.
Absolutely.
First responders are amazing, and we will always give if they ask. So, yeah.
So make sure if you want to play in the Firefighters Golf Tournament, golflocal2808.org, or any of the tournaments, you know, just go over to GJ Golf, give you guys a call, and you can get them pointed in the right direction, Ty.
Yep. We post them at our store, and then we post them on our website. So if we know about the tournament, it's posted somewhere on our site or at our store.
All right, so tomorrow we got the PGA Championship in Tulsa, and Tiger Woods gonna be paired with Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy for the first two rounds. So it's the comeback tour continues for Tiger Woods after his horrible car accident. So that'll be an interesting first couple of days with those pairings.
Yeah, I think he's paired with two great guys, especially him. He's friends with them. He knows him. He plays a lot of golf with him in the past. I think that'll be a great threesome to watch. There's some good pairings out there this week.
Who's the guy that you kind of have your eye on that you think, okay, this course, PGA Championship, this could be the weekend that somebody comes up with winning a major, maybe somebody that has never won a major before?
I have two in mind, and one is kind of crazy to me because of all his swing changes and the stuff that he's gone through over the last couple of years. Who's paired with Tiger? Jordan Spieth has a really good chance to win this golf tournament. His short game's amazing. His swing change is now finally coming along. He's on leaderboards every week. But who I really like this week is I really like Justin Thomas. I keep looking through everything, and with this golf course, you have to have a really good wedge game. You got to putt pretty well, and Justin Thomas does that probably better than a lot of people.
Rory had a really strong finish at the Masters. What about Rory? Because it seemed like, I don't know, he frustrates me. Because the talent's there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
And it just seems like for a while he has not been able to put it together week in and week out. But there seemed to be kind of a little bit of a light bulb moment, the play out of the bunker there at the end of the Masters, his push on Sunday, that maybe that's the thing that gets Rory McIlroy going here a little bit.
I completely agree with you. I mean, he's playing so good right now, and especially on the weekends, the two days that you have to play well. I always say get to the weekend and then see what you can do on the weekend. But yeah, Rory McIlroy's playing unbelievable right now. His Sunday at back nine at the Masters was one of the best I've ever seen watching the Masters as many times as I have. But yeah, he's playing well. I mean, this, like I said last time I was on the field, it's hard to pick just one right now, and I know there is one winner, but it's hard to pick.
We have Ty from GJ Golf with us today on the Jim Davis Show. Get your golfers in right now. Get your golfer in, singular. And Buckeye will let you know if that golfer has already been taken to win your choice of a wedge at GJ Golf in Fisher's Marketplace. Have you ever played the course at Tulsa?
No, I've never played in Oklahoma. I've never played there. The only time I've ever seen it is the other PGAs, the other majors that they've had there. But it looks like an unbelievable golf course. But yeah, everything that I've seen this week and studying up on this is everybody saying that you got to have a really good wedge game this week to contend. So,
and it sounds like at Southern Hills could be a little windy. I mean, it's Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Could be dry. It's Oklahoma. but that could have an impact on some of the scores we see.
Yeah, and absolutely. Well, one thing, too, is they're not doing it in August, so there's not going to be as much humidity. But if there is a little wind and it is a little dry, that golf course is probably going to play a little fast. And I don't know that you'll see a really, really low score, but you'll see some pretty good scores.
And I think that one of the things that we've come to learn about the PGA Championship over the years, Ty, is that expect the unexpected, right?
Absolutely.
Keegan Bradley, Jimmy Walker, you're going, who the hell are these guys? Yeah, Bradley wins it in 2011, Walker in 2016. Expect the unexpected when it comes to the PGA Championship.
Yeah, this is the one tournament that you can pick the top guys, and then someone comes out of the pack that you don't even know about and wins this tournament. Yeah, it put Keegan Bradley on the map. It put Duffner on the map. It's put a lot of guys on the map when I'm in a major.
Yeah, the Duff Man back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, guys that I kind of like Keegan Bradley. He's kind of a dark horse in this thing.
I was listening to a thing yesterday, and someone brought up Keegan Bradley. He's playing well. He's got four top tens in the last five tournaments, so that's not a bad pick.
Ty with Ty, GJ Golf, located in Fisher's Marketplace. Get your golfers in, your golfer in. I keep wanting to say golfers. Golfer in today, singular. You can give us multiple ones.
Yeah, give us, you know, four or five. But
I guess
six.
That's where I'm going with the ascent. Yeah, give us give us three or four.
And in an order of your choosing,
yes.
The top one available you'll get.
So. Because if somebody's already grabbed your top guy, you got to go to the next guy.
Paul's given us about eight names who have already been taken. So
okay, good,
I'm
good
pulling
try.
For Paul, but he's still searching for people.
So was it CJ's? He's the one that said in Shooter McGavin, right?
Yeah.
CJ.
He gave me a name, and I said, you have a better chance with Tin Cup.
No. How about, who did Matt Damon play in Bagger Vance? Because we don't remember his name.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Matt Damon
I don't remember.
Name.
CJ has Shane Lowry, and then he said, I almost went with Brandon Bingaman. I said, you'd have just as good a chance with Tin Cup.
Probably so. Probably
no offense,
so.
Brandon.
Speaking of Brandon Bingaman, local golfer, CMU guy, CMU golf out at TPC Michigan, and they're what 17th right now. Scott Sullivan's team. So I know Timmy Cavaro, he's right now there. The player that's got posted the best score so far out at TPC Michigan. So kind of cool that Scott was able to get his entire team for the first time in the history of CMU golf, Ty, to qualify for the national tournament.
Yeah, that's awesome. Scott's been doing. I've known Scott a long time, and Scott's doing a great job with that team, and congratulations to them. And I think they're only going to get better. So that's awesome for them.
Of course, we've got girls high school golf going on right now as well. State tournament coming up very, very soon. So still a lot of local golf. Of course, we get into the thick of the golf season here locally from a recreational standpoint with, of course, a lot of the tournaments we were just talking about. Once again, if you're interested in playing in a tournament, contact Ty and the guys over at GJ Golf because they can point you in the right direction. All right, anything new at GJ Golf that you want to talk about, Ty, something new that you're bringing to the table?
We have all the new apparel, new equipment. Like I said, we're in the season, so new equipment and new apparel coming in daily, so come see us down at GJ Golf whenever you want.
And, of course, club fitting, we want to talk about that as always. That is so crucial. Particularly if you're starting to play for the first time, getting your clubs fitted and Nick at your place, you know, knows his stuff and can point you in the right direction to have the perfect club fitting.
Yep. We do club fittings, and it's so huge. It does take about four strokes off any kind of game just by getting a true club fitting. And we have Nick teaching lessons. So, yeah, if you need anything from golf, hopefully we're your one-stop shop.
Yeah, so stop by. Like I said, Mick can sit down with you and take you through that process. And so stop by and see Ty, Mick today over at GJ Golf, Fisher's Marketplace, right there next to Fisher's Liquor Barn, and help tune up your game as well, point you in the right direction for lessons and things like that also.
Yep, thank you guys for having me on the air today, and good luck to all those people that put their entries in.
All right, so once again, Ty, we greatly appreciate it. Ty from GJ Golf, Fisher's Marketplace, joining us in the program this morning and also in with us right now to talk about the Mountain Bike and Music Festival downtown this weekend. It's Ben. Good morning, Ben. Appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So it's kind of the retooled version with the Grand Junction Sports Commission with the mountain bike event that shut down previously. And so kind of take us through it this weekend. If you're obviously into mountain biking, perfect place to be. But also if you just like a good craft beer and some great local music, it's also the place to be as well.
Absolutely. So I'll give you the condensed version. But yeah, we unfortunately had to take over this event as the race organizers couldn't come back this year. And so it's really been a community collaboration to make this happen, which is really exciting for the progress of Grand Junction. We got downtown Grand Junction taking over the music festival production. The Sports Commission is really focused on creating the cycling portion. But we've got 15, 30, 40-mile mountain bike races for amateurs. We've got a pro race on Sunday with some Olympians coming. And then we also have, like you mentioned, that festival feel, which is vendors, craft beer, live music. And the best part, it's all free to the public. So we're inviting people to come down, check it out.
And that's Rides and Vibes coming up this weekend, downtown Grand Junction. Got Ben with the Grand Junction Sports Commission with us this morning. You mentioned some Olympians. I've heard that maybe Lance Armstrong is going to be in town.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be riding as the mountain bike portion. I know he does dabble in that somewhat, but we've got a couple Olympians from the Rio Games as well as Tokyo. And so I think still not sure exactly what the final roster is going to be of people coming in. But yeah, we got some really high-level talent riding. And plus, we got the local college team, which some of these riders are the best in the world at their age group, which is great.
The CMU cycling team, national champions once again.
Correct. Yep, I actually got the chance to go watch them in Augusta, and their coaches, Brian Flaherty and Patrick Rostell, did such a great job. They won that national road championship, but also the overall team championship, and again, just speaks to the talent that they are able to recruit and bring into CMU, which is awesome for our community.
And Patrick Rostell's been involved with CMU cycling for quite some time now. He's been a key member, been in really developing that program into what it is, one of the very best programs in D2 cycling.
Absolutely, yeah. These guys actually competed against some of the Division I schools. I mean, Stanford, Michigan, these powerhouses in terms of athletics, and they left them in the dust by a lot. So it was fun to see that.
So if somebody's listening and they want to get into one of the rides, one of the events going on with that, how do they go about doing that?
Yep, absolutely. So our registration actually ends tonight at midnight. So we still have some time left for people to register. But we're encouraging everyone to go to gjridesandvibes.com. It's got all the information you need, a full music lineup, information about the cycling portions, what the course maps look like. Again, this mountain biking on the lunch loop. So these are some tough trails. I know our local community knows that. But, yeah, all the information you can get and sign up and register to go.
And so, like I said, there's going to be the bands, 10 different bands, and like a 3-block beer garden is what I understand.
Yep. So we're closing Main Street from approximately 7th Street to 3rd Street, and we'll have music and beer all throughout that section. And so we have 3 different beer gardens with Ska Brewing pouring at 2 of those. Then we'll have a kind of a local one with Ramblebine, Rock Slide, Talbot's, Foam and Folly, and then also High Country Beverage providing some brewers as well.
So gjridesandvibes.com to get all the information about the races, but also the bands that are playing as well. And it starts this Friday, downtown Grand Junction.
Friday at noon, the action starts, and it will go through 10 o'clock both Friday and Saturday nights, and then the pro race is on Sunday morning, so kind of fun for people to come down and watch those pro riders finish.
Once again, gjridesandvibes.com starts this Friday. Ben, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Stay by the radio.
You are listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction.
All right, 8:23. I remember they played here. They played at Mike the Headless Chicken,
mm-hmm.
Georgia Satellites.
2 weeks, Mike the Headless Chicken Festival? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, I heard this song in the gas station this morning. I'm like, all right. And I've always liked this song. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let's break it up.
Georgia Satellites back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That is June 3rd, by the way, for Mike the Headless Chicken.
Yeah.
And they've got a disc golf tournament that's going to be part of that.
Nice.
And we're going to have Rock and Matt from Triple Play in very soon. to talk about some of the local disc golf scene.
Mm-hmm.
They're the guys to go talk to about that down on Main Street. I'm trying to see who's going to be playing at that. I don't see who they have musically playing at that
this
year. Yeah,
I didn't see that part either. But.
So anyway, but June 3rd, by the way, for Mike the Headless Chicken. All right, Cody Rourke's out of town today because Cody's in the process of moving over to Denver Mile High Sports and being involved with them covering the Broncos. Do you want to mention that our friend Kevin Schaefer,
yeah.
Colorado Preps, the scoreboard show that we run every Friday night during the football season, he has sold Colorado Preps mm-hmm. to Mile High Sports. And Kevin's going to continue on working for Mile High Sports in Colorado Preps. But another guy that we know, Dan Mormon. Dan's going to be their digital director.
Wow, look at that.
And so
they're investing a lot in high school sports over there
right.
at Mile High Sports.
And then obviously hiring Cody to cover the Broncos because
yep.
that's going to be Cody's beat.
Mm-hmm.
So Doug Otwell, who his dad was involved with Chassa for a long, long time, he's the guy that owns Mile High Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, a really nice piece about why they bought Colorado Preps. And because of his love of high school sports in the state, his dad's involvement with Chassa previously, that he feels like the Colorado Prep athletes, they certainly, we talk so much pro sports in the state that there is that room. And Mile High Sports Magazine, they've always had like some of the, Reiki's the top prep athletes mm-hmm. in the state, top high schools in terms of athletic programs. They have that, once a year
yeah.
kind of, rundown that they have poll. And so they've always had a strong connection to high school sports.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug Otwell referenced Rocky Preps back in the day, which was which was a tremendous website through the old Rocky Mountain News. That you got so much great information on high school sports across the state. And it wasn't just the Front Range. They did a nice job of covering stuff over here, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to take what Kevin's done with Colorado Preps, which has been fantastic, by the way, and build upon that.
Yeah.
And so I'm thrilled for Kevin that he's been able to make some money and still mm-hmm. keep a day job, right?
To essentially start this show from his kitchen to where
yeah.
we would call in final scores and his wife Lynette or his kids would
exactly.
answer the phone and we'd give them scores from over here or he'd call us, one of them would call us.
And I remember after a game, Kevin, like, Jim, what was the score of Fruita
yeah.
Junction?
Or he got a score, whatever. A couple of numbers, yeah. So to see where that
we would send them started. Audio at times.
Yeah, at times we would. To see where that started, to see the success it's had and now where it's going is very exciting. I'm very happy for
yeah.
Kevin, too.
Thrilled for Kevin. Thrilled for Cody
yeah.
to be a part of what looks like it's an expanding mm-hmm. enterprise with Mile High Sports Radio and Mile High Sports Magazine. So
found your bands for Mike the Headless Chicken Festival if you want it.
Sure, go ahead.
So Peggy Malone and Josh Grayson, a couple of country
okay.
artists on Friday night. And then Saturday you got The Lip at 11, A Big Dominguez at 2, Stray Grass at 4, Head for the Hills or Head for Hills at 5:30. And then Natural Chemistry featuring members of Snarky Puppy, Carl Denson's Tiny Universe.
Oh, yeah.
And the Funk Apostles at 7:30 Saturday the 4th. So
I love me some Carl Denson and Tiny Universe.
Who doesn't?
Well, you're like, who the hell is that? Fun, kind of funky band. It's,
yeah.
it's some good stuff.
So we and got. Then, sorry, go ahead.
And then you got Rides and Vibes this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
With
a three block
Sposa and Mark Broussard playing at that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Go to gjridesandvibes.com.
Yep.
All right. Should also mention this as well, the CMU Beer Fest. I mean, there's nothing going on this
right.
weekend. CMU Beer Fest, Friday 4 to 8 over in the Plaza at CMU.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the CMU website to get tickets, $40 for that.
That'll keep you very cool and hydrated
yeah.
for CMU baseball.
Exactly.
South Central Regional Tournament.
Which we're going to talk with Chris Hanks as the Mavericks mm-hmm. get ready to get that going tomorrow night over on our sister station, 1100 KNZZ. Okay, so get your golfer in today.
Yep.
Our GJ Golf PGA Championship Contest. Your chance to win a wedge of your choice.
Hey, Paul finally got someone. Ben Hogan is who Paul
Okay,
picked.
Congratulations.
Actually, Billy Horschel. Paul, you finally got somebody.
Good job.
You're in.
Good job.
It took. It was a. it was a bit of a adventure.
I did like CJ with Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
Better than picking Phil Mickelson.
Is that too soon?
Too soon? No. No, it's not.
Not at all too soon.
It's not when you bring it upon yourself.
Yeah. We have a couple texts that got buried. Did we get the wines in from early? We did with Ruben. But we got a couple other texts surrounding soundcheck that got buried from last hour.
Okay.
We got Steve. I believe baseball players should not go all out and try their best. Signed, Teddy Bridgewater.
Going from Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says play all out until your kid gets hurt and he's at home for 8 to 10 months with an avoidable injury.
And that's the other side of it, right? Because Tim's son Cameron at Grand Junction High School got hurt, missed the rest of the season. That is the other side of it.
But I don't know what you tell...
I don't know what you tell a kids. Teenager when he gets hurt going all out, right? It's avoidable. I mean, all sports injuries are avoidable by not playing sports, if you want to go that route. You know what I mean?
And if it's a case where kid's in a game, he's pitching, and now that we have pitch limits, 110 mm-hmm. pitches and those things like that in high school baseball, it makes it easier. I think that was... I know there's a lot of the old guys, back in the old days, throw 150 pitches, and then I'm going to pitch 3 days later.
I pitched both games of a doubleheader. Good for you. That's not how it is now.
Yeah, I just think that we do have restrictions because that makes sense to protect young arms in youth baseball. But say you got somebody that in the past did that, and they didn't take a kid out. I mean, that's... when they should have. It's up to coaches to be smart enough to realize, or you get a player that maybe looked like they tweaked something. Kid says, I want to stay in. No, you got to take him out.
Mm-hmm. And high school kids will run through a wall if you let them.
Yeah.
That's part of coaching is to not let them.
I think that you have to, as an athlete, you have to be aware of, okay, can I make a play here? Does this make sense? You know, and that's a lot to process, right? Mm-hmm. When you're trying to track down a foul ball and you see the wall coming up, is it worth me trying to make this play? That's a lot to process in a nanosecond. You just have to hope kids make the right decision. Players at the big league level make the right decision when it comes to, it's a long season. Is this play in May or June going to determine the outcome of our season? Probably not. That foul ball down the right field line, if you're not going to be able to get to it safely, maybe you let it go. But that's just hard. I don't know how you tell guys, hey, got to shut it down.
Right.
Got to be careful. Because
is a risk.
You don't want guys walking around in eggshells and then why didn't you make that play? Why didn't you die for that ball?
And it's a tightrope, too, because you're right. They may have in your mind that, you know what, this particular play is not worth it. But, if you can get there and you choose not to, how do you go back into the dugout or the sideline or the locker room?
Yeah, and Tim, and I don't know all the circumstances of Cameron's injury, but, I mean, that's got to be frustrating. Young man's one of the best junior pitchers in the state and out for a, like you said, 8 to 10 months. That's frustrating.
Definitely had an effect on their season a little bit, too.
Didn't help. Lose one of your best arms. All right, so text in your golfer, and Buckeye will let you know if it's a golfer's already been taken.
Mm-hmm. Do you want the list? We got a little few minutes, right? No, Cody, he's out of town. Do you want the list of golfers that are taken?
Sure, I got Jared's text. Ty has to end interviews with Go Tigers. No, Ty didn't have to do that, Jared.
He didn't have to do that.
That's Cody's thing.
Yeah,
it's not Ty's thing.
Wrong segment.
Yeah.
If he was in the 820 slot, then maybe. But wrong segment.
Yeah.
So golfers that are off the board. And I won't tell you who has them because that's a lot of names at one time.
Just who's off the board.
Will Zalatoris, Shigeki Murayama, Cameron Smith, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Scotty Scheffler, John Rahm, a Charles Schwartzel sighting, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa, Tom Hoge, Shane Lowry, Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns, Max Homa, Hideki Matsuyama, Taylor Gooch, Ian Poulter, who Dan has and just learned his name this morning, and Billy Horschel. Those guys are all off the board. We also have Tin Cup, Shooter McGavin, Byron Nelson, and one other old.
Did they come up with actual real golfers, though,
yes,
finally?
They did.
Okay. Keegan Bradley's out there, right?
Tiger's out there.
El Tigre.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk a little NFL and just pro football in general. Philip Lindsay has a new home.
The USFL.
No.
Oh, okay.
He's still in the league. The National Football League, not the United States Football League, or the XFL. He's agreed to a one-year deal with the Colts that started 2021 with the Houston Texans after he parted company with the Broncos. Averaged 2.6 yards per carry and 50 attempts. Let him go in late November. Then he went to Miami. And numbers got better. 3.1 yards per carry and 38 attempts. And so he pretty much a non-factor with both the teams that he played for.
True.
249 rushing yards, a touchdown. Caught 4 passes for 45 yards and a touchdown. And so he goes to Indianapolis where they have Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines as the backup, who's really kind of the versatile back, the guy that's can even line him up in the slot and do a lot of different things with Nyheim Hines. Where's he going to fit in? He's, once again, he goes to a place where he went to a place in Houston and Miami where he had an opportunity to really kind of establish himself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that team had nothing going.
And he couldn't catch on in either one of those teams. Now he goes to Indianapolis where good luck seeing a lot of time on the field if you make the roster at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy that Phil's got a new gig. I still like Philip Lindsay. You and I, it's never been I hate Philip Lindsay. I don't.
No.
It's just Denver's made the right decision in terms of the direction they've gone with their running backs. And that's Melvin Gordon, and it's Javonte Williams. And I get it that Phil had a couple of 1,000-yard rushing seasons. Just long-term, that was not sustainable. It just wasn't.
Right.
So, also, for the Broncos have got some of their draft picks signed and to deals. Nick Benito, edge rusher, Oklahoma, their second-round pick, their top pick. 4 years. $5.8 million deal for him. Greg Dulcich, the third round tight end, the UCLA product.
Big perm.
$5.24 million for a 4 year deal. So far, no deal's been reported for Damari Mathis, the cornerback. Probably going to be 4 years, $4.43 million, according to Mile High Report. Owazarike has not signed a deal yet. Expected to be about 4 years, $4.42 million for him as well. Montrell Washington, kick returner. Well, they were hoping kick returner extraordinaire.
Couple bags of peanuts.
4 years, $3.97 million, fifth round pick. Luke Wattenberg, who's kind of expected to maybe be in the mix at the center spot for the Broncos, the fifth round selection out of Washington. 4 years, $3.95 million for him. So those are some of the deals that have been inked so far with Broncos draft picks this season. All right, a couple other things very quickly outside the NFL. Walt Disney Company and ESPN reaching a deal to broadcast the XFL. So it's supposed to kick off February 18th, 40-game regular season schedule, 3 playoff games, 2 semifinals, and a championship game. The games will air on ESPN networks, also others, ABC, FX, ESPN+. So we don't know yet, though, where the teams will be. We know the coaches. You know, of course, it's The Rock and his ex-wife that and Redbird Capital that purchased the XFL out of bankruptcy for $15 million. So we do now know, though, they have a legitimate TV partner now when it comes to the XFL and its return February. And the one that's existing right now, the USFL, don't know how much longer it's going to be, but they're still in business. USFL, they announced plans to squad on 50 more players one day after the XFL announced their broadcast partnership. Game day rosters expanded from 38 to 40. Total rosters now 45 to 50. So they see the impending talent drain with the XFL coming on here in February. All right, 8:38. Going to skip four down territory right now. We'll try to maybe get it back half of this hour. We have Connor McGahee joining us next. We'll take a break and return with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the Team. Talking Avalanche hockey with the voice of the Avs, Connor McGahee on the Team.
With us right now, the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line had the call on the Avalanche and their opening win of the second round last night against the St. Louis Blues from the Concave. It's Con Air, Connor McGahee. Good morning, Connor. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing well. Because see, when I see Connor McGahee, I do think of the Nicolas Cage character from Con Air.
Long-haired Nicolas Cage.
With the white wife beater tank top, the long hair. I mean, that's how you call every game, right? Looking like Nick Cage?
Yeah, that's exactly what I look like. I mean, it suits me to a T. We're practically twins.
You're exactly. People right. confuse you all the time.
Usual.
Yeah, they get you confused all the time, right? They call you Nick Cage and you go, I'm Connor McGahee. They call him Connor McGahee all the time. It's like you were separated at birth. But
yeah, really, really is truly amazing. I don't know how we did it, but we did.
But you did. great win for the Avalanche last night, though. I mean, you watched that game, and as you've watched it unfold last night and described it to us, first two periods, I felt like the Avalanche should have been up like 9-1. It just a lot of shots off the post. Cogliano had one of those. It just felt like they dominated the Blues last night, but it still ends up going to overtime last night. You know, a little kerfuffle on the shift change that allows that game to go to overtime. But the Avalanche, the resiliency, that's the word today, resiliency, they showed that last night with that win.
Well, find a way is not the theme for the playoffs for the Avalanche for no reason, because they've done that all year, and that game last night had, speaking of mirror images and separated at birth, that game and game two of the Nashville series were eerily similar. You have all those shots, you have all those chances, and Ingram, spectacular in that instance, Binnington, good last night, the Avalanche definitely unlucky. I think somebody said in the press box that officially, five posts is the most posts hit without a goal in Stanley Cup playoff history, which may not be a thing. It may, who knows? Fact is, they didn't go in the net. But the Avalanche stuck with it instead of getting annoyed, frustrated, any of those things, going full Braden Schenn in the penalty box. They just stuck with it, and it was fascinating because Sam Girard gets a goal and Josh Manson gets a goal, and they come from unlikely places. And when people were questioning the Avalanche's depth, I'm not sure that they always forget the blue line, we'll put it that way. And two of the three goals last night come from defensemen having to be D partners, and the Avalanche outshooting the Blues 13-0 in overtime. And you're right, when that is the case, that is the team that usually deserves to win. And Ingram had a chance to, or gave the Predators a chance to steal one in game number two. Binnington gave the Blues a chance to steal one last night. But Colorado was, again, able to prevail, and they were the team that definitely deserved to win that hockey game.
Avs Radio Voice, Connor McGahee with us today on the Team Sports Network. How is the songbird of our generation? What have you heard about Sammy Girard?
I think he's fine.
He'll be okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I know as much as you guys.
Okay.
I mean, Jared Bednar said that he's fine post-game last night, so.
Because, I mean, they carted him off, and I didn't know if you had any inside information that we were not privy to. I rarely do.
I rarely do.
Well, he's going to be fine, and that's the number. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what any of us know, right? Long as he's going to be back for game two of this series, that's all we care about.
Sure. It's amazing how many times that, you know, people on Twitter know things before I do, which is often.
Well, you look at last night, and like you said, the scoring came from Josh Manson in overtime, Sammy Girard, Nichushkin, the unfamiliar sources, right, of scoring on this team. And that shows just how deadly this team can be. Even when McKinnon Can't find the back of the net, though he was flying all over the place last night, as he normally does, that, you know, that they always seem to find, because of the depth of this team, Connor, other scoring sources, which, remember, that was a problem a couple of years ago, right? In the last couple of seasons, of finding that secondary scoring, that just does not seem to be a problem for this team anymore.
No, it doesn't. And they have belief in each other, and it doesn't matter who it is. That's five different wins in these Stanley Cup playoffs, five different game-winning goal scorers, including two defensemen. Three defensemen with Devon Taves. Sorry about that. Andrew Gagliano, his shorthanded goal was the game-winner early on in the Nashville series. So you're right. I mean, as much as we talk about Cale Makar's 10 points in four games versus Nashville, Nathan MacKinnon scoring in all four games, four games straight, and being one of the best postseason point producers in the history of the National Hockey League, success comes from everywhere else. And chances were generated by Eric Johnson. He had a great opportunity last night, Lekkonen pulling off the post. So chances are coming really from all four lines. And that's fascinating, because the talking point for the Blues is that they have 920 goal scorers on the team, which is unheard of. That means that the top three lines, every single forward has 20 goals or more. And when you're playing a team like that, you have to find different sources of offense, and the Avalanche were able to do that, not just last night, but this entire postseason. But we can see how the series are now different. And with the Blues series, it's going to be a different style of play, and it's a clean slate. It's a start from scratch. For Colorado, they don't even want to think about Nashville anymore, because this is different, and the focus needs to be different. And we saw that adjustment happen in real time last night. And the Avalanche, you know, after the first period where things weren't exactly going their way, really turned on the gas and started to dominate. And they need to continue that through game number two coming up tomorrow night.
Ryan O'Reilly with that first goal last night on a rare misplay, you know, funky bounce for Cale Makar that led to the O'Reilly goal last night. I tell you, Ryan O'Reilly, he's a really good player, but it seems like he relishes this opportunity to face the Avalanche, that there's still an axe to grind there with Ryan O'Reilly. That's just the vibe that I certainly get from him anytime I watch him play the Avalanche.
I mean, possibly, but for him, he's moved on. He's the captain of the St. Louis Blues. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's won a Conn Smythe. That would be wasted energy, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, remember, it was his quote that really fueled the Avs to sweep the Blues last year. He said, "We're going to have fun. We're going to beat him." And they didn't. And so, but I think if you're Ryan O'Reilly, I mean, it was a good start to his career. It didn't work out that way. And it was sort of a strange path, but he found where he was supposed to be. And for him, that's, you know, he will be known as one of the best St. Louis Blues in history.
I thought Darcy Kuemper, considering all the time off recovering from the eye injury, Connor, I thought Darcy played really well last night. The shift change led to the one goal.
Yeah.
The, you know, they said the fluky plays they referenced with Makar led to O'Reilly's goal. I thought Darcy played pretty well. I thought, in total last night, considering it was 8 days off, I thought the Avalanche came out with a lot of fire, played great, where they could have very well been a very sluggish hockey team last night.
Sure, and I think this rest versus rust issue has been, it's just something that we talk about in the media.
Right.
I don't think that it's something that exists inside of a coach's room, inside of an NHL locker room. I think that everyone wants to play games, but they are so good now and so finely tuned that game pace is not impossible to just turn on right away. We saw that with Nashville when the team had not really been put together for almost a month, maybe even more. And once the group was together, they put the pedal to the metal right off the hop. And last night, you're right, no real signs of letdown. And it just got better as they went along. So I think this whole thing in between series about the too much rest issue, I think, because Dave Landeskog says it's not a thing, Jared Bednar says it's not a thing, and with the Avs winning last night, I would now agree that it's it's not a thing.
Connor McGahey, radio voice of the Avalanche, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Game 2 tomorrow night here on the team, pregame at 7. What adjustments can you kind of anticipate Craig Berube making with the Blues?
Well, it's interesting. He went 11 forward, 7D again last night. Same thing that he did in Game 6 versus the Minnesota Wild 5 nights ago. But for him, I don't know if he needs an extra forward, if he likes Perunovic as that 7D enough to keep him in there. But for him, I mean, the Blues just, they didn't have really any shots on goal. They were opportunistic. And if that's going to be how the series is going to go, they're going to have to score on every single scoring chance that they're given. And the Avalanche are getting to a point where they're not going to want to give them really, really any. I mean, there were two gifts last night. They scored on both of them. And if Kemper is able to make one save or O'Reilly puts that over the net, it's a completely different story. Offensively, the Blues were nowhere close to being a threat last night. The one goal scored by Kyrou was on the power play, and that was the only power play opportunity they got all night. And now they have a power play goal in every single playoff game they've played this year. So I think that Berube will want to be more aggressive and just get more rubber towards Darcy Kemper, but if the Avalanche have the puck the whole time, which is part of their strategy, that's hard to do. So it's sort of just being opportunistic, I think, if you're the St. Louis Blues, and the Avalanche know that they have a couple things to clean up as well, and if they do that, I think they walk out with another win in Game 2 tomorrow night.
Last night you had the chance to talk with Commissioner Gary Bettman. Kind of your takeaway and your conversation with the commission last night.
Yeah, it was good. We've done that a couple times. Last time he came on our show was the outdoor game at Lake Tahoe last year, and he's always generous with his time and wants to make himself available. I didn't reach out to the league. They reached out to us and wondered if he wanted to be a guest during the first intermission, and of course, jumped at the opportunity. But it's always fun to talk about the health of the league and where they are at. And this was the most profitable year ever for the National Hockey League. Two new television deals, able to get full buildings again for the most part. Canada and some other parts of the states were an issue for a while, but things seem to be on the uptick, and the financials, we've heard the quote, it's all about the money sometimes. And that's where it's interesting for general managers in particular, because they need to know what kind of space they're working with. The cap is supposed to go up $1 million next year. No commitment as to another jump for the year after that, but that gives more flexibility to the GMs to construct teams that can really wow you. And if you're in cap trouble, then you're going to be probably there for a long time. So it's always interesting to take the temperature of the league office and see how the wide brush and wide angle situation is, and even the particulars. But Commissioner Bettman, always generous with his time and always honest as well. And, you know, he's awarded 2 Stanley Cups to Avalanche captains, Joe, or just one captain, Joe Sack, and here's hoping that he'll be around to award a third, hopefully this year.
Hear, hear. I hope that is the case, too. Connor, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
All right, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, while the Avalanche and the St. Louis Blues right here on the Team Sports Network.